Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is a Wednesday that feels like a Friday edition of Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you until 8 o'clock this evening. This is a weird day. When the Dave Glover show came on the air this afternoon, I was listening to him, and Dave said, I don't know what we're doing here today, and I don't feel exactly the same way because I know what I'm doing. I'm here to host a sports show here for a couple hours, but it is always weird doing the night show on the day before a holiday where everybody is into holiday mode, and you know what? We got a couple more hours of work to do. That is absolutely fine. Glad to be here, but it's going to be kind of a loose, kind of fun show today. I'll tell you this right off the bat. So I promised something yesterday. I'm going to give it to you today. It's a holiday. I don't know how many people are going to really want to interact with us, but in our second segment, so coming up in about 10 minutes, I am going to have the phone lines open. Yesterday, as we were breaking down all aspects of this Sonny Gray trade, I didn't get to open up the phones and the text messages and all that quite as much as I would have liked to. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to chime in on how you feel about the Cardinals trading Sonny Gray and also what they got back from him. I promised you yesterday that we would get into that, and we will give you that opportunity coming up in our next segment. So if you want to chime in, that's going to be the opportunity to do so. You'll be able to call. You can text it. Now, we can hold those text messages, but you'll be able to call in our next segment, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or you can leave a message or a comment, I should say, on the video chat for those of you who are watching on Facebook and on Twitter and on YouTube. Here's our guest list for the show today. In about 25 minutes, in our third segment this hour, we're going to talk with Kyle Reese. He does a lot of different things. He does a great job covering Cardinals prospects, and we always like being able to talk to him. Matthew Rocchio does some stuff with us here at KMOX, part of the team over at STL Sports Central, covering Billikens, covering City. He is going to join us at 7:20 next hour. And then James Bassone, who is the editor-in-chief of Covers.com, which is a website that covers sports gambling news, he's going to join us at 7:35, and not just to talk sports gambling, but they did an interesting study, and in that study, they kind of reflected upon the habits and the amount of fandom for the different teams and programs in the state of Missouri. And there were some interesting findings and all of that. So we will get into that as we do continue on. The Blues, by the way, are in action. We'll keep you updated on that as we go along. They're matched up against the New Jersey Devils. It is the final game of a five-game road trip, and they've gotten off to a good start as they're out to a 1-0 lead in that game. Again, we'll keep you updated on that as we go along. I guess if they were to win tonight against the Devils, if you squint a little bit, you can say it was a respectable road trip, because so far they have gotten points in three of the four games. So if they win tonight, they would have gotten points in four of the five. That's kind of a stretch, especially when two of those games were overtime losses where they had leads, yada, yada, yada. But a win is a win, and we'll see if they can hold on to it. That's been the problem with them. They get out to these early leads, and then they don't hold on. But just about 2 minutes into the game, Blues are up to a 1-0 lead here tonight. We'll talk a lot of baseball. Again, the news of the day from a national standpoint, Dylan Cease got a big deal from the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays coming off a World Series appearance. They got him for 7 years and $30 million per. So that goes to show you, like, that's, take note of that. Take note of the cost of pitching and why you have haves and have-nots in baseball, and why the have-nots have to be creative in the way that they do things, and why the have-nots also have to find a way to draft, develop, find a way to produce some high-end pitching. Because there's only a handful of teams in baseball that are handing out 7-year, $210 million contracts, especially, and like, I think Dylan Cease is a good pitcher, don't get me wrong, but Dylan Cease gives you five innings. He's a five-inning guy. So you're going to, a guy who is very good, but very good for a short amount of time, is costing you $30 million per year. That's the cost of pitching today. And I think when you consider that, and you think about how much money Sonny Gray is going to make this year, because Gray, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. There were so many things with the Gray trade that we didn't touch on everything, but they reworked the contract a bit, where essentially the 1 year plus option turned into 1 year mutual option, and a mutual option isn't really a thing. It's going to be declined by one of the two sides. So it really just turned into a 1 year deal where he's making $41 million. He was originally on the hook for 35 this year, plus a $5 million opt out if that final year option wasn't picked up. Now that final year option isn't really a thing. He's just going to make the straight 40. And then because he waived his no trade clause, he got $1 million kicker on there. So yeah, Sonny Gray got an extra $1 million for saying that he would accept a trade and you know, go against his trade clause or no trade clause. So, I mean, $41 million is a lot of money. I would rather spend that money probably on Dylan Cease than Sonny Gray at this point. But when you think about the cost of pitching, 1 year, $41 million, and from a Red Sox perspective, they're only on the hook for 21 of it. Like, that's not a crazy amount of money. And it wasn't that long ago where a $20+ million pitcher was an all-star caliber guy for sure. And can Gray pitch to an all-star level? Yeah, he can. Is he going to? That's the better question. And it seems like indications are at this point that he's on the other side of that in his career. But again, he may have a real good bounce back this upcoming season. All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll see if anybody wants to get in on here. I always try to keep my promises. Yesterday, I told you we'd do this today. If you want to chime in on where the Cardinals are at right now, If you want to tell me your thoughts on the trade that they made yesterday, whether you're really happy with it or really upset about it, this is the time to do it. You can give us a call, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. You can also text in at that same number, 314-436-7900. You can also leave a comment on the video stream. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts on the trade that was made yesterday. Are you happy? Are you unhappy? We'll discuss it with you coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are continuing on here on Thanksgiving Eve. Thanks so much for spending a portion of your evening with us as you get ready for your holiday. If you want to join us, and this is the opportunity to do so, you can call or text 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment, and we'll get to some of those as we continue on. But I want to get everybody's thoughts, if you want to get in here, on what you thought about yesterday's trade. Sonny Gray getting moved to Boston for a couple pitchers, both young pitchers, both controllable, one ready for the big leagues and Fitz, the other in Clark, who's going to be a little while till we'll see him at the big league level. Let's start with Mark, who's given us a call. Hey, Mark, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, and great topic for discussion for Cardinal fans, and I am a Cardinal fan. I love the trade. It makes good sense, very good sense. Where the Cardinals are, the emphasis has to be on starting pitching, and this has been a neglect on the Cardinals over recent years, so I'm glad that Heimblum is making this deal to unload the salary, because Sonny Gray was a little erratic last year. You know, all the things he wanted and everything is being the number one pitcher, but clearly you have to look at his age and all. And then I also look at the two top teams that competed. And so you have to look at what gets you not only to the playoffs, but gets you to the World Series to compete, to become world champions. So I think they're on the right path because they did, you saw, we know the Dodgers had outstanding, really starting pitching, but Toronto wasn't that far off. I mean, in some of those games, they matched the Dodgers, and think about the historic 18-inning game, but starting pitching is a requirement. The Cardinals got a very good defense. That's how you build a championship team. Good starting pitching and good defense. You're in every game. And then now if we get more situational hitting, the Cardinals will be right there being able to really, truly compete, not only to get to the playoffs, but also to be a viable contender, you know, for winning the championship. That's Cardinal baseball as I see it. Thank
All right, Mark, you bet. Appreciate the phone call. Good to hear from you, Mark, a regular caller during the baseball season, during the extra inning show. Always love when we hear from some of those folks. And Mark's hit the nail on the head right there. You want to win at the highest level. You want to go on playoff runs. You have to have high-end pitching. And the Cardinals don't have enough of it. They're not going to have enough of it this upcoming season, but they're trying to get as much of it into the system, or as much potential of it into the system, as they try to have more of a surplus moving forward. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. Leave a comment on the video stream. Let's grab Don, who's giving us a call. Hey, Don, you're on Sports Open Line.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Matt. And I'm going to talk about the Gray trade. I'm not crazy about the trade. Personally, I'll give you my opinion on it. I just don't think they got enough for him. I mean, you know, the Brandon, what's his name? He may not mount to nothing. The other pitcher, he's probably going to be in a rotation next year. And then I want to know about Nolan Arenado. What rumors are you hearing on him? And is there anything going on with Donovan? Are they going to trade him, Matt? And I'll stay on the line and hear your comments. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Matt.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. It's good to hear from you. Yesterday, Heimblum was asked very directly whether or not there had been any status change when it came to both Nolan Arenado and Wilson Contreras, and he said nothing has changed. I read something today that people saying the best fits for Arenado would be the Angels and the Pirates. I have a really hard time believing that Arenado would accept a deal to the Pirates. He still has a no-trade clause. I bet he would accept a deal to the Angels. Even though the Angels are not ready to win right now, the Cardinals aren't ready to win either. And at least if he went to the Angels, it would be an opportunity for him to be able to play closer to home. I do think the fact that the Cardinals ate $20 million yesterday for Sonny Gray tells you that they are going to be more open for business when it comes to moving on from Arenado and eating some of that salary that goes along with it. Look, and I understand, I completely understand what Don was saying when he said that he doesn't feel like the Cardinals got enough for Sonny Gray because there's no guarantee that Brandon Clark is going to turn into anything. I understand that sentiment. I'm not trying to be dismissive of that statement. I'm really not. But I am trying to bring a little bit of reality to the situation. There are very few players who would net back a can't-miss pitching prospect. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in today's baseball. If you've got a can't-miss pitching prospect, those guys don't get traded because that is the number one commodity, the number one asset that exists in baseball. So what you have to do is what the Cardinals did yesterday, and that's go get some guys or a guy, specifically to Clark, you know, kind of taking Fitz as a guy who's going to come in, and he's going to probably help out in the rotation this upcoming season, and he kind of is what he is. I think he's a nice player, but he's probably not a top-of-the-rotation guy. But Clark, if he hits his potential, he can be a top-of-the-rotation guy. Is there a guarantee of that happening? No, absolutely there's not, but he's got some nasty stuff, man. He's got some really, really nasty stuff. And in terms of Brendan Donovan, there's no guarantee that he's going to get moved. I think he is the player who I don't think the team's going to trade Alec Burleson. I really don't. So like there's a handful of guys who I don't think they're going to trade, who they're just probably not going to be really motivated to be engaged on, barring the offer that you can't say no to. And Mason Wynn's on that list. And I think Alec Burleson, maybe not quite to the extent that Wynn is, but I think Burleson's there. So going off my kind of assumption that Burleson is not going to get traded, I don't think he is. Donovan is your best trade asset that's on the team right now. He's going to bring back the highest return. He doesn't have a lot of time left on what, two more years of club control. He's had some injury issues. Like, I just think now's the time. For me, now's the time to move on from Donovan. Now, that being said, if you don't move on from Donovan, you can move on from Gorman. You're not going to get the same return for Gorman than you would for Donovan. But if you do that, because you need to open up a spot for J.J. Weatherholt, right? Like, that's part of what's going on right now. And let's assume for a second that Nolan Arenado is going to get moved. Arenado gets moved. Well, the assumption is that Gorman is at third. Well, if Arenado and Gorman gets moved, then you can put Weatherholt at third. If Arenado and Donovan get moved, then you put Weatherholt at second. So assuming Arenado is going to get moved, and I think that's going to happen. I said the exact same thing last offseason. I was wrong. They had a deal done. He turned it down. But I was wrong on that assumption last year. But I'm going to make the same assumption this year. Arenado is going to get moved. At that point, you have to move on from either Donovan or Gorman because you have to open up a spot for Weatherholt to be able to play. Donovan is the guy who's going to get you the best return. And I need to pull the cut from yesterday and just play it over and over and over this offseason. But Heim Bloom was very clear that said when there's two opportunities in front of them, and this is a paraphrase, not his exact words, when there's two opportunities in front of them, and one opportunity is a short-term opportunity and one opportunity is a long-term opportunity, and they're going in divergent directions, they are going to go in the direction of the long-term opportunity. You can like it, you can dislike it, we can have all the discussions you want about it, but that's where the team is at right now. That is the decisions that they're going to be making. So if that's the case, then that tells me that if you're trying to decide between trading Donovan or Gorman, you trade Donovan because that's going to give you the better return and set you up better for the future. We are going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk with our friend Kyle Reese. We'll get his thoughts. He does a really good job of covering prospects. He does some stuff with the Cardinal Nation. He worked a little bit with Brian Walt. Does a bunch of stuff. If you're on social media, you see him all over doing things. Kyle joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Even having eaten all day, my tummy is growling cause I've been saving up space. I've got my place at the table, can't fit no more on my plate. I've got my fork in my hand, ready to stuff my face. So bring on the turkey, potatoes, casserole dishes, cause I ain't messing around with them buttoned up britches. You got them skinny.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, our pre-Thanksgiving edition, or our Thanksgiving Eve edition. We're continuing to talk through all things Cardinals, all things Sonny Gray trade from yesterday. And one of my favorite people to be able to talk to, he does a fantastic job, especially on social media, covering Cardinals prospects. He got mentioned the other day when we had Brian Walton on because he does some stuff with Brian over at the Cardinal Nation. He's a few other spots as well. He is Kyle Reese. You follow him on Twitter at KyleR416. Kyle, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Mr. Pauly. It's a pleasure to join you. A total honor every time.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say. And I got to say, so one of my favorite things about following along with you was, for the better part of the last few years, I could sense either very overtly or somewhat passive-aggressively you not being super happy with maybe some 40-man roster moves the Cardinals would make. And now, really, since Heim Bloom took over and the handful of moves that they made, whether it's non-tenders or whatever, it feels like you're, for the most part, pretty happy with a lot of the moves the Cardinals are choosing to make on the fringes of the roster.
Yeah, you are correct. You know, for many, many years now, the back end of the Cardinals 40-man roster in particular has been a roster of redundancies, a lot of players that would fill the same need. And then especially in the pitching staff, whether it be in the bullpen or potential starters, a lot of the pitchers were the same kind of pitcher that didn't really have much value to either the Cardinals' long-term future or any other organization. And what we've seen so far since Mr. Bloom took over, and we started seeing bits and pieces of this last year with his influence and Rob Serfolio's influence. But what we're seeing now is a lot of those, you know, pitch-to-contact pitchers who also don't have such good command start to find their way off of the 40-man. And more intriguing pitchers in particular find their way onto the 40-man. They're being smarter about the prospects they're protecting. You know, they're leaving some fringe guys off. Guys like prospects like Max, right-handed pitcher Max Radek. He's the kind of guy who the previous administration might hold on to. And he's not really a pitcher that anybody's going to take. And if they do, you don't really have to worry about there being results. So that's just all to say that I think that they're nibbling away at some of the fringe players that were never going to have a serious major league impact and opening opportunities and chances for players who could end up having like a real major league impact. And so far, so good in that regard.
Yeah, you use the word intriguing, and I think that's notable because it's not so much about the can't miss people. We know who those are, and obviously they're going to hold on to them. But you know, Clark yesterday is a great example. There's no guarantee he's getting to the big leagues. But if he does, and if he reaches potential, holy moly, this guy can be somebody who's pretty special. And it feels like more and more of those guys with some of the traits that you want to see, especially from a swing and miss standpoint, more of those individuals are in the organization already.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We started to see that get highlighted at the draft. You know, I believe when we talked about the last time we talked, you know, we had Tanner Franklin, the Cardinals' third overall pick, the third round pick, to talk about. They keep highlighting pitchers who have traits that have success at the major leagues now, and they're getting ahead of it. I was talking to a friend of mine, Kareem, Kareem SFN, who has his own podcast yesterday, and we were just talking about, you know, one thing that they're doing with lefties, they're targeting lefties with really good fastballs and changeups to play off the fastball. They're getting ahead of the market in that regard, and they're kind of hoarding it, which means that they're going to have a surplus to deal with. In every aspect, they're modernizing, and it's not just like modernizing to catch up. In the past, we've seen them target pitchers that have sliders after the slider craze had already hit Major League Baseball. Well, now they're getting ahead of it. They're finding a new market efficiency. And, that, you know, I'm spending a lot of time talking about pitching, but that's also happening with some of the bats that they're going to key in on. And some of the players, some of the hitters we might see make Major League debuts in the coming years. So it's all to say that, like, this modernization is happening. And I think it's also happening at the same time without giving up what is the essence of Cardinal baseball, which is small ball, which is, you know, playing good defense, smart base running. They're doing one without compromising the other. And I think that's what's been most intriguing for me over the last year and a half.
We're talking with Kyle Reese. So yesterday, Cardinals, they make the move. They bring in Clark. You mentioned Kareem. He mentioned something on social media, which I thought was interesting. He specifically talked about Clark's slider, and that may be the single best pitch that exists in the Cardinals organization right now. They also bring in a guy who's going to be able to factor in at the major league level right away in Richard Fitz. What did you think of the return for Sonny Gray?
I love the way that you talked about Brandon Clark just a little second ago. I think it really exemplifies, like, this is a really exciting arm. He is an extremely talented arm. Another thing that, like, I'm not sure the Cardinals have had this kind of, you know, what scouts call arm talent since maybe Alex Reyes. You know, I think that that's like the last time they had this kind of raw ability in the organization. You know, no disrespect to Liam Doyle or to Quinn Matthews or Michael Wacha, like this group that they've had, Jack Flaherty, but this is like the next tier of arm talent. Now, it comes with a lot of questions, and we'll see what he can do. We'll see if he can even be a reliever. I still think he's very much in the play for a long-term starter, but this type of arm that young man has, it's impossible to find. There are very few of them, and it is that kind of talent. And, you know, as you start peeling back the layers of what he's capable of doing, there's a slider and a sweeper there, and the slider is the marquee pitch, but there's a sweeper that's kind of built in that's probably every bit as good of the slider, and they both get like 60% swing and miss. To go with a fastball and a sinker, he throws both of those pitches. Both of them, the fastball is an amazing pitch, gets in the high 90s, it touches 100. Sinker does the same thing. They both get varying levels of results. He has varying levels of command with the ball. Let's go with a curve and a changeup. But again, if you're going to trade Sonny Gray and you're going to include money, even with the high variance that this young man's going to have success, you know, the concerns that come with it, this is the kind of arm that you target, because you're not going to be able to find this. You're not going to be able to draft this. Like, you say the Cardinals get a lottery pick this year. There's a good chance that first overall, second overall, third overall, top seven pick, you're not going to find this kind of arm. So that alone is a positive return. And then I like with Richard Fitz, I just like that they have somebody who's kind of a little bit more foolproof version of what we've seen out of Andre Pallante. I think that there's a lot of pitch to contact there, but I think that there's major league bridge immediately. And the Cardinals need major league pitchers to bridge to the next round of prospects. You know, with so many pitching injuries in the organization this year, whether it be Cooper Jerby or Tekoa Roby, Brian Holiday, you know, all these guys at varying levels with varying time to get them to the majors, you're going to need guys like Richard Fitz to bridge that gap. And when you find somebody like that who can keep the ball on the ground, in part because of a mid-90s two-seamer, but also has an interesting slider and probably just needs to use his two-seamer more specifically against right-handers, I think that you'll see that little bit of tweaking start to pay off for the Cardinals, especially because you can pitch a little different at Busch than you can at Fenway. So of course, you know, you trade Sonny Gray, it's tough. It's always tough, even in a rebuild like this, when you're trading somebody as supremely talented as he is. But for the situation that the Cardinals are in with their long-term future, this is what you target. You target immense talent and somebody who can get you to the next that next round of next level.
Brendan Donovan, I think, will get traded. There's been some reporting that kind of came out today that, you know what, the Cardinals are okay holding on to him if they don't get an offer that they like. I feel like there's almost been a level of misinformation on social media with people putting the bar a little bit too high on what Donovan's return would be. Some people out there talking about the top one or two prospects in organizations. To me, I feel like Donovan's a guy who's going to net you maybe somebody towards the end of the top 100 of all major league prospects, and I'm not even 100% sure of that. Where do you stand on this? What would be a logical, common sense, connected to earth return for a Brendan Donovan?
This is one of the few things that people ever come to me to be connected to earth. Most of the time it's like, well, what kind of planet is this guy living on? No. So I think it's somewhere between the two, Matt. It all depends on what the market dictates. I do think that, you know, you might be able to find a team that's willing to give a consensus top 50 pick. I do think that we're going to get the team's number one, we're going to get a team's number two, and also a major league caliber pitcher with 4 or 5 years of control. That's probably unrealistic. Again, I say that, but if the market ends up getting crazy for him and you have a bunch of teams bidding on him at like the winter meetings when everybody's together, you can throw any expectation, any reality out of the window. But I think when you step back and you really think about the player Brendan Donovan is with 2 years of control, I think you're talking about, like, if the Cardinals aren't convinced, if the Cardinals aren't willing to trade him for anything less than what they want, then what they're probably going to want here is a team's top, a top 50 prospect, a top 100 prospect, and probably somebody, again, who can be a Dick Fitz or a Richard Fitz, somebody who can fit that mold to come in, fill some valuable innings, whether it be long relief or starting innings right away. And I think that's what they're going to target. I think, and, you know, if teams end up outbidding for him, which seems to be likely, depending on some of the national reporting, I think that it could be a little bit more than that. But again, I think what we're also learning about this regime, this Cardinal regime in particular, this player development staff, is they're being very, the way the player development staff and the scouting staff are working together, they're being very deliberate about the prospects, both draft and in other organizations that they're targeting. And they have an MO that they're going after. So I don't necessarily know if it'll be one of those where, oh, it's the team's fifth best pick or fifth best prospect and their eighth best prospect. I think that there's a really good chance that it might be a team's 10th best prospect and a team's 16th best prospect, but just with really great stuff who eventually find their way into top 50 or top 100 consideration once the Cardinals get their hands on them.
Let me finish you off with this. And I try to listen to what is said, and I think we can all assume that if you try to create space for a J.J. Weatherholt, you have to trade either Donovan or Gorman, assuming Arenado's gone as well. And I keep going back to what Haim said yesterday, that when they're presented basically with two options and one option is better for the short term and one option is better for the long term, and those two options go head to head with each other, they're always going to go with the long term option. I hear Haim say that, and I feel like, well, then there's no way you can choose to trade Gorman as opposed to trading Donovan.
I think that that's a good call. And I think that, you know, if you, I think the other left-handed battle there, if you're going to, like, I guess, segment them up, is it makes more sense to trade Lars Nootbaar than Alec Burleson, too, for that very reason that you're saying, you know, the short term to the long term. I do think with Gorman, there's a different conversation to be had because he's worked with so many different people to try to get right. And I don't know if that fit has happened in the organization. It doesn't mean it won't. It doesn't mean that, you know, with a new front office setup that they might be able to finally unlock what his true underlying value is. But I do think that we haven't really seen those results no matter how hard he's worked or who he's worked with. And we've seen a lot of reverting back to old habits. So I do think you're right about your point that you can't have J.J. Weatherholt in the majors and still have Donovan and Gorman. But I do think that there's a world where you can actually move all three of Arenado, Gorman, and Donovan if all the returns are correct. Minus Arenado, that's a whole different thing. But if the returns for Donovan and Gorman are correct, like, you're not hurting so bad with the angle that you're trying to take for the long-term future of the organization to move out all three and have J.J. and whatever patchwork middle infielder, whether it be Cesar Prieto or Jose Fermin, for the short term just to get you through it and be competitive and figure it out if the returns match up perfectly. But there's also no urgency to trade any of those guys right now. So it's a fascinating position for them to be in.
Kyle Reese is awesome. You follow him on Twitter at KyleR416. Kyle, thanks for the time. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll do this again in the future.
I can't wait, Matt. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the listeners.
Awesome. Very good. Kyle Reese joining us on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. He's great when it comes to a lot of things, but certainly talking through Cardinals prospects. And I could have gone on with him for much, much longer, but we got to take a break. So we'll do that more in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program, got a tweet from one of our loyal listeners who I really appreciate, although I don't think they appreciate me right now. Free Spirit 120 saying, Matt, it's terrible that you constantly insult Brendan Donovan when, in fact, he's an all-star and can play multiple positions and is basically the best player they have. Why do you not like this gem of Major League Baseball, our coveted Brendan? Yes, let's keep Gorman, who strikes out every at-bat, she says sarcastically, as well as Brendan is a leader in the clubhouse. It eludes me that you constantly underrate him. He's top 20 best players, not just top 100. He's more talented than anyone on the team. So this is... I love Brendan Donovan. This is where I hate these conversations sometimes, because I can really, really like a player, but I can also say that he's not as good as some people think he is. With all due respect to Free Spirit, he's not a top 20 player in all of Major League Baseball. He's not. He was an All-Star because he was the Cardinals' representative on the All-Star team. He's not a for sure All-Star playing on any team in baseball. So I love what Brendan Donovan represents, but I also love the idea of the return that you can get for him and what that can help with his team with moving forward. This is KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Into hour number two of the program. Welcome in. We're kind of having a little bit of fun here on a pre-Thanksgiving edition of the program. Michael Calhoun sitting at the news desk right now. So you mentioned the hamster-sized flurries, which is a... did you hear him by chance talking about that today with Dave Glover show?
That is one of the Dave Murray classics.
Said that, you know, he was the first one to say it, and now whenever he hears other weather folks say it, that he kind of feels like that's that he was the origin story goes all the way back to him.
Hamster-sized flakes and garden variety showers both remind me of Dave Murray. By the way, he was on Good Morning America. He was like the Al Roker for America for years.
Yeah,
and then he was at Channel 5, did that nationally, then came back, worked at Fox 2 for decades, and now he's our meteorologist here at KMOX. So not only just like a St. Louis, you know, fixture and icon, but a pretty good meteorologist to have on staff here.
Very good. You know, I'm 43 years old, and I don't remember him from Good Morning America, but I remember being little and seeing him on Channel 2 and my dad telling me, hey, that's the guy who used to be on Good Morning America. For me to be 43, and I don't remember, you know, I don't know the year exactly that he ended his run at Good Morning America, but it was obviously very early on in my life. For him to have that kind of run in the St. Louis market and still here with us at KMOX, it's pretty remarkable.
That is, that's exactly my story, because I wasn't old enough to see him on GMA either. But my dad told me about that. He would tell me about, Mike Bush. He's got that sports department where Trey Wingo and Matt Weiner, he's got all these people he brings up through St. Louis and sends nationally and introduced me to KMOX. He's the reason why I'm here.
That's very, very cool. Thanksgiving, do you have any big Thanksgiving traditions that you do every year that you would like to share before we let you go here?
Just a ton of mashed potatoes and stuffing, and I'm a pumpkin pie guy.
Okay.
So some people like the pecan. We usually have both.
I don't like pecan. I'm with you. I'm not a pecan pie guy. I definitely pumpkin pie is the goat of Thanksgiving pies.
It truly is. Actually, the goat of like Thanksgiving dessert would probably be my mom takes the heavy cream and whips up the fresh cream for on top of the pies.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
My wife makes like this it's a pretzel jello casserole with like Cool Whip casserole sort of thing. And it's really good. And I view it more as a dessert, yet she views it more as something that's kind of part of the meal. So she'll put it other people will put it on their plate like as the part of the meal, where I always wait to eat it like after I do the turkey and all the other kind of more hearty type food.
Pretzel and jello?
Yeah, it's really good.
What flavor jello?
Like cherry, I guess.
Okay.
Strawberry. Okay. So Daniel Hinkamp is here. He knows what I'm talking about. It's really good. So it's one of my favorite things that she makes. And that is the leftover that has the least amount of time being left over because we eat it very quickly afterwards.
Oh, I thought you were commentating on how it lasts in the fridge.
No, I'm commenting on how quickly it goes into my mouth.
I would have to, I'm going to be honest, when I hear cherry jello and whipped cream and pretzels, I'm curious, I guess.
It's good. It's very good. So I can tell you is it's very good. What do you have a side that is your favorite side?
I mean, I love mashed potatoes any day.
Okay.
But stuffing is one of those that
I don't like stuffing.
You don't?
No.
With gravy?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh.
I don't like cranberries either, like the cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that. Green bean casserole, that's a good one. Are you in on that? Okay, no. I'm trying to think. What other sides are there? Rolls are good.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, all right. Well, I'm glad we could chat.
Now
this one
I'm
up.
Hungry. Well, what am I going to do?
There's a vending machine down the hallway, Michael.
No mashed potatoes in there.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving to both you guys.
Sounds good. That's Michael Calhoun from the news department joining us here on the program. In about 5-10 minutes, we're going to talk with Matthew Rocchio. We're going to talk. Billikens have a huge one tomorrow. It's a big opportunity for them against Santa Clara. So we'll talk with him. And then we've got a guy coming up later on this hour. Talk through a study that was done about sports fans in Missouri, somewhat connected to the legalization of sports gambling on December 1st. But some interesting insights on some of the passions when it comes to fandom in the state of Missouri. So we'll do that coming up in just a little while. A couple text messages coming in, and appreciate everybody being tuned in. Got one for the 314. Said, after 2 years of not making the playoffs, the Cardinals should not be in a rebuild. They should be all in to try to make the playoffs. One can't win a championship if they're not in the playoffs. I appreciate the message. I appreciate you listening in. I'm not trying to be dismissive or disrespectful of your comment because I do understand where you are coming from, but I think it is that type of belief. I was going to use the word dangerous. That's over the top. That's me being like a hot take guy, which I'm not. I think it's incorrect, and I don't think it gets the Cardinals closer to a World Series championship. First off, the correct part of that message, of that text. You're right. Can't win a championship if you don't get into the playoffs. But you know what? You're not likely to win a championship if you are not putting your organization in a place where you can consistently produce high-end players. The Dodgers can go buy a championship. They can do that. There's a few other teams that can do that. But even teams that can do that aren't always successful doing it. See the New York Mets, who have spent tons of money. How about the Yankees, who have spent like $1 billion since their last world championship? Just because you have all the money in the world doesn't mean that you're going to get a championship. Now, the Dodgers are very smart. You know, whereas the Mets at times don't spend money with a high level of intelligence, I give the Dodgers a lot of credit. Yes, they have resources that other teams do not have, but they do it in a smart way. So credit goes to the Dodgers, even though part of it is just the fact that they can spend a lot of money. But if you're the Cardinals and you want to be a team, just because you haven't been in the playoffs for a couple years doesn't mean that there should be a level of urgency to skip steps, because when you skip steps, all of a sudden, you're not actually creating something that is sustainable. And I understand the frustration. I understand the frustration more than most people, because you know what? I sit in the press box at every Cardinals game, and I look down and I look around, and I see a bunch of empty seats. And it's an environment that makes me at times sad, because I know what it should be and what it's not, and what hopefully it will be again. Because the environment at many Cardinals games over the last couple of years has been nothing short of stale. And I don't want that. Nobody wants that. If you love the city of St. Louis, you don't want that, because how we feel in this city on a day-to-day basis during the summer can be so connected to what's going on with our baseball team. So I understand when somebody's saying, why are they in a rebuild? Shouldn't they just go buy some pieces and try to be good sooner than later? I don't think so, because I want this team to be a team that can actually legitimately win World Series, that have the talent to win World Series. And I mentioned Dylan Cease earlier. Dylan Cease just got $30 million per year over a 7-year contract, and he's a guy that doesn't pitch you past 5 innings most nights. Okay, the cost of pitching, the cost of many things, and not that the Cardinals can't spend more money than they've spent. They can spend money. I'm not just giving them a free pass on money, and we can revisit this in the future for sure. But I feel very good about the fact that once the Cardinals get back into a competitive window, they will be at a place again where they'll spend money and spend money at a high level. But what that means is, I use this example all the time. When 2 years ago, you go spend $22 million to get Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn to be your third and fourth starter, or fourth and fifth starter, however you would have viewed it in that moment. Well, those positions on the roster can be filled with guys you develop. When you go spend 20, 25, maybe $30 million at some point on a player, well, they need to be players who are at the high end of the roster. Guys that legitimately get you closer to winning a World Series. With all due respect to Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, the Cardinals did not get a single step closer to winning the World Series when those two players were brought in, outside of the fact that those two players gave you a little bit of a better shot at being a playoff team. But they weren't going to go win you a World Series. Now, it needs to be better at the top of the roster. I've gotten a bunch of messages today talking about the DeWitts needing to sell the team. I am as against that as possible. I think I'm critical of the DeWitts in the sense that they were the stewards of the team as this down period has occurred over the last few years, and they let some things get away from them that they should not have let get away. This team fell behind in many ways, many other organizations, but I think they're spending the money where they need to spend it right now in the correct places. Like I said earlier, I think they go back to upping the payroll down the line once they're in a competitive window, and I think the track record of the DeWitts since they bought the team is a pretty darn good track record, and I will defend them on that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we are going to shift gears. We'll talk a little Billikens basketball. Might get a little City SC in there as well. Our friend Matthew Rocchio joins us in just a moment. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I've got plenty to be thankful for. I haven't got a great big yacht to sail from shore to shore. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, our Thanksgiving Eve edition of the program. Tomorrow, the Billikens are in action. They've got a really interesting game tomorrow. They take on Santa Clara. Santa Clara is always a really respectable program. They're more than that this year. They're undefeated with a road win against Xavier and a home win against Nevada. Of course, SLU is undefeated as well. To talk about that, we might get a little City SC talk in there as well. He is part of the team here at KMOX. Also does work for STL Sports Central. He is our good friend, Matthew Rock. And he joins us right now. Matthew, always appreciate taking the time with us. Happy day before Thanksgiving.
Of course, Mr. Pauly. Happy holidays.
All right, this is a big one tomorrow for SLU, and it feels like the Billikens have been getting almost better every game. Those first few wins, it felt like Josh Schertz was talking post-game, and it was more about the negative things that happened. The narratives and the way they have played have certainly shifted the last 2 days, and now the level of competition goes up.
Yeah, I mean, they got to iron out the turnovers. You look at the numbers, that's the bottom line. This offense feels like its ceiling is extremely high, but right now the turnovers are just cutting its legs out from under it. So they need to figure out the turnovers. And listen, Santa Clara is a very good team. They're going to be a top 50 team. They're probably going to be a quad one game when all is said and done, which will be really big for the Billikens. But that's going to be a tough game. And if they continue to turn the ball over, it might end up being their first loss of the season.
These two teams played last year. Santa Clara won a game in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 85-78. One thing that's been interesting, Matthew, about this team is it hasn't been just Robbie Avila. In fact, Schertz made a point in the last game of the fact that Avila only had to play, 21 minutes, and they let some other guys take over. It feels like there's a lot more opportunities for some secondary scoring from this team beyond Avila.
Yeah, absolutely. What you're really seeing right now in the rotation for the Billikens is developed to essentially, there's nine guys really in the rotation. When they get a big lead, that's when we really see more of the freshman, Jax Kerr and Cameron Hutzman. But there's a nine-guy rotation, and usually every game, eight guys are going to get there. So that's really been what we've seen a lot, is that eight guys are going to get theirs out of those nine. But that's the thing, is that that's eight guys that are going to get there. There's not a lot of college teams that have that luxury. The Billikens have that luxury, and so far what we're seeing is that spread out scoring is making them one of the more dynamic teams in college basketball.
We've seen Avila do his thing. We've seen Amari McCautry, but in the last game out, it was really Deion Brown and Trey Green. How important is it for guys like that to have the opportunity to kind of be the leading scorers and to be the leading individuals in any given game?
Listen, I can't say enough about Deion Brown. He has been such a revelation. He's been so much fun to watch. He really has been special. And Trey Green, you know, when he gets involved, that's going to be, you know, really good. And you saw him start kind of, you know, hit double figures for the first time in their last game. You know, when he gets going, it's going to open up a new scoring factor of their offense. Deion Brown is just, I don't know what to expect at this point, because he's already blown past any expectations we should have had. Everything you saw from him as a freshman at UMBC, and then as a sophomore when he makes the jump to the ACC at BC, you know, you didn't know if any of it was going to translate, what could be better, because he's on a better team. And so far, everything's gotten better with Deion Brown, and he's been the rebounder that he was, despite being 6'3". It seemed crazy to compare him to, like, Jordan Goodwin, considering what Goodwin did as a Billiken, what he's doing now in the NBA. And here it is, another 6'3 guard where they're running post-up plays for him in the half court. It's incredible.
I don't mean to be disrespectful to the non-conference schedule, but the non-conference schedule, for the most part, stinks. They just don't have enough really good opponents on it. And it's tough when you're not in a power conference, being able to schedule those games. Does that add that much more importance to these next 2 days where they'll play, like you said, probably a quad one game against Santa Clara, and then they'll play either Minnesota or Stanford coming up on Friday, and this is really the only opportunity in non-conference to play these type of games?
Yeah, they just don't get a lot of Power Four teams. And Josh Schertz has commented on, and he said it. Power Four teams are not looking to schedule dangerous mid-majors, and right now St. Louis, with the way they're playing, with you know beating Iowa up in a pre-season scrimmage that they didn't want to open to the public, probably for a reason, teams don't want to play SLU. It's risky. And so, yeah, they have to take advantage of this schedule. You know, is this best-case scenario, is this schedule an at-large bid resume if they need it to be? I think it's borderline. Best case scenario is maybe. And so, yeah, to your point, they have to take every advantage they can.
And it's it puts them in a situation where there's that much more pressure where it almost feels like you have to win your conference tournament. And if you don't win your conference tournament, you have to put together a remarkably good conference schedule to be in the mix for that at-large bid.
Yeah, you got to beat your Daytons. You got to beat your VCUs. You know, you got to take care of business across the entire conference. And A-10 is a tough conference. You know, it's a physical conference. And, you know, can the depth, you know, push them through? It's going to be a lot better than it was last year. They're going to have a lot more margin for error. That's going to be a big part of it. But the bottom line is, can they, you know, run clean the entire season? Something's going to hiccup. But does that depth last? That'll be a big question if we eventually see it be tested. A
couple more minutes with Matthew Rocchio. Again, we will have the Billikens game coming up tomorrow as they match up against Santa Clara. That game is going to start exclusively on 11:20 a.m. as we wrap up the Chiefs game here on 104.1 FM. And then once the Chiefs game wraps up, we'll have the Billikens both on 11:20 and 104.1 FM. If they win that game, they play at 6 on Friday. If they lose the game, they'll play at 8:30 on Friday. And that game will be here on KMOX. All right, let's jump over to City for just a second. The first moves being made of, I guess, the Corey Ray era, they declined the options on a handful of players. There's still some players out there that reportedly that they're talking with. Is there much to say at this point about the small roster moves that have been made here recently?
Not really. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, I think the Josh Yarrow one right, you know, a week or 2 weeks ago, I guess, at this point, that was a big one because, you know, he's a depth player who's on the older side. And when you talk about kind of reforming your roster, I think that's a big question mark. And you know, it takes away a senior roster spot. And right now, they don't have a ton of those open, and they do have some moves they still have to make. So they're looking at a little bit of a roster pinch. And then you add in the big thing of the announcement was more of who they're still talking to, which is St. Louis City SC is still in conversations with Henry Kessler, Conrad Vollem, and Devin Padelford for next season. And Vollem and Padelford are interesting ones because both of them were loans. So I'm not really sure if this just means they're free agents who aren't going back to their old club or if these are deals from previous, loan obligations, but what have you. Those are three players that if they do re-sign any of them or two or three of whatever, those will be other senior rostered players. So the big thing right now with St. Louis City is that there's a little bit of a roster crunch and that the senior roster can only have so many players. They only have so many holes, and yet they have X amount of needs to really fill to be a, you know, playoff level team next year. And the big question is going to be, do they have the spots open to even fill those needs?
They also don't have a coach lined up yet. Critchley's still around, but there's no guarantee he's going to be back. Do you get the sense on what the timeline might be on when they really dive in on that?
I think there's a good chance we see it in the first week of December. It would honestly shock me if we come out of Thanksgiving, get a whole nother, 10 or 12 day span and get nothing. If we're talking, December 10th, December 15th or something along those lines, that's when I think a lot of City fans would probably raise the red flag and be like, okay, this is taking a little bit longer than it's supposed to. You guys had a pretty long reach here to, start this search and then add in Corey Ray once you hired him. Seems like you should be able to get this done. I think that's a fair expectation because there's just so much to do. I mean, how much of this system are they going to change? We've heard Gigliani talk about it when they made the move from Lutz Pfannenstiel. We've heard Corey Ray talk about it, that Midwestern ethos, playing a little bit of an upbeat tempo soccer. How much is Corey Ray really going to want to do that? How is the roster build going to reflect that? What is the head coach going to want to do? There's a lot of questions to ask and not a very long offseason.
Matthew Rocchio covers the Billikens and City SC for STL Sports Central. Follow him on Twitter at RockSTL. That's RockSTL. Matthew, thanks so much for taking the time. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll talk again very, very soon.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Very good. That's Matthew Rocchio joining us. We appreciate him taking a few moments. I'm pretty fired up about tomorrow's Billikens game. I'm excited for this one. With all due respect to all the teams that they have played so far, this is the chance to get out of St. Louis and to play a quality opponent, and it's going to be fun to see what they can do against Santa Clara, and that's a good Santa Clara team they're going to match up against. Matthew mentioned the closed-door scrimmage against Iowa. The report was that they essentially won that scrimmage. They got the exhibition win against Bradley on the road, so that was a good opportunity. But now this is the first time for real that they're going to be away from St. Louis playing a game that matters. And again, you can hear the start of that game on 11:20 a.m. as the Chiefs wrap up on 104.1 FM. And then we'll go to the full simulcast once again coming up tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. Some interesting facts about Missouri sports fans we'll explain coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Of course, we are getting closer and closer to legal sports gambling in the state of Missouri. And the folks over at Covers.com did a really interesting study gauging some different things when it comes to fandom in the state of Missouri. And to talk about that, we're very happy to welcome on the program. He is the editor and chief of Covers.com. He is James Besson. James, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. How are you today?
I'm good. So I got this email from you guys kind of going over the findings of your study, and I was not shocked to see that the Kansas City Chiefs might have the most loyal fan base in Missouri, but what did surprise me was right behind them, a college program in the St. Louis area, Lindenwood, actually comes number two on that list. That's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I have to say I was pretty surprised at the results myself as well. Not necessarily that the Chiefs not only finished first, but by a significant margin. But I think what you see with Lindenwood is just a very passionate fan base that cares a lot about this team. One thing that I should note with this study, we did ensure that we had an equal number of participants for each team. So you don't have a volume play here, which allows us to properly assess the pool of fans from each of these nine franchises. And I think that's where, you know, you might see it with a team like Lindenwood in the OVC, just a little more loyalty, a little bit more, maybe this is my team, these are my guys. And it's reflected in the results of the survey, definitely.
Historically speaking, the two kind of flagship teams in the state of Missouri have been the Kansas City Chiefs and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals have fallen back here a little bit recently. They haven't been to the playoffs in a few years. What did you see in terms of Cardinals fans and where they're sitting right now in the research that you guys did?
One thing that I thought was interesting about the Cardinals, you know, maybe there will be people who are a little bit surprised to see that they finished fourth on this list, slightly behind the Blues and ever so slightly ahead of the Royals. I thought it was interesting the three teams kind of bunched together in the survey. But St. Louis ranked really well, the Cardinals did, in emotional loyalty. And that does not surprise me. This is a very proud fan base. You know, all teams claim to have fans that are passionate and proud, but you really see it shine through. I think performance plays a little bit of a factor here. I think people are a little more inclined to be prouder of their teams when they're performing well, but certainly, you know, we ask questions like, is your fandom inherited from family? How much does the performance of your team affect your mood? And while the Chiefs, again, number one with a bullet here, I think what you see in the Cardinals finishing second in this section is a really strong bond with this team, more so than any team not named the Chiefs. And so that shone through in the survey. I can't say it surprised me, but it certainly did stand out.
Yeah, I can tell you, living in St. Louis, when the Cardinals are doing well, life is good in St. Louis. And when the Cardinals are not doing well, they're seemingly a dark cloud. I don't know if there's anything that impacts the city of St. Louis and just kind of how everybody's feeling more so than Cardinals baseball.
Fair enough. And you know, that comes through in a variety of different ways. When you do a survey like this, again, I think results matter a lot. But when you get down to it, with teams like the Cardinals, regardless of how they're performing, people are invested in the results, right? And so you live and die with the successes and failures, the struggles and the triumphs. And, you know, the Chiefs have the benefit of having been one of the, if not the most successful North American franchise over the last 10, 12 years. But what you have with the Cardinals is a fan base that, you know, that there's a lineage there, right? It's a very special thing to be connected to a team like this that has such a rich history. And you can see that in the results of a survey like this, which is fantastic to see. And again, it really speaks to the connection that Cardinals fans have with their team.
You mentioned doing, you know, making sure that you get a sample size that reflects all teams and reflects all parts of the states. When the Rams left St. Louis, the Chiefs were really able to come in and take over this market. And we see Chiefs stuff everywhere here on KMOX. We run the Chiefs games. They're always on TV here. Did you, I don't know how much you're able to kind of lock in on based off, you know, where people were living and what their fandom was, but can you speak to the St. Louis fandom for the Kansas City Chiefs, if that makes sense?
Well, that's an interesting question because I, you know, when I broke down the survey results, again, we had suspected that the Chiefs would be number one, but the margin of victory in pretty much every category, aside from financial investment, and you know, that speaks to, you know, when you're a fan of a team, you spend on them no matter what. I think what you're seeing here is a state that really rallies behind this football team. And it doesn't surprise me in the least that you see the passion of Missouri football fans transfer to the Chiefs when the Rams left town. It doesn't surprise me in the least that these results reflect that. Just seeing even engagement, right? How often are you watching the team on TV? How often do you interact with the team's content? No team is even in the same stratosphere as the Chiefs when it comes to Missouri-based sports franchises, including the other three major pro teams. There's just something really special, and clearly the state has rallied behind this team. And again, it hasn't hurt that this team has been wildly successful. You see it in you know, the way that people are proud to wear the colors, the way that people are rallying around the tailgates and really making Chiefs football appointment viewing, which again is a state thing. I think more than anything else, you really see that reflected in just how dominant Missouri is when it comes to the overall results here.
The other flagship program that covers the entire state really is the University of Missouri. And you guys had an interesting finding on Tigers fans because it sounds like they are a group of fans that even compared nationally, this is a group of fans that are willing to especially travel long distances.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really something special when you have fan bases that are willing to move around to follow their team. There's very few programs in college develop a reputation for traveling well. I think Missouri certainly ranks up there on that list. And there's something to be said for especially a conference like the SEC where every game, again, appointment viewing, I use that term a lot. Every game has such high stakes and it is such a huge game within the conference because of the passion that people have and the popularity that the conference has. And so for you to be able to say that the Tigers are one of the best traveling fan bases in a conference that is traditionally known for its rabid fan bases, I think that says everything you need to know about Missouri fandom.
I opened up this conversation saying this is connected to sports betting beginning December 1st in the state. Can you speak to me a little bit about how what we have just discussed, how all of that can influence betting behavior that will begin on December 1st legally in Missouri?
Well, it stands to reason any fan base that is introduced to legal sports betting is largely going to be focused on its own team. That's a trend that we've seen since PASPA was first repealed in 2018, and now approaching 40 states that have legalized sports betting, Missouri the newest one on that list coming up next week. I think what you'll see is an awful lot of action on the home teams. People love to bet on their own teams. They have a vested interest. It gives them another reason to celebrate. You may see the odd fan that will do what's called a hedge, which is, you know, betting on the opposite team so they win either way. But for the most part, people don't really like to do that. I think they like to lean into their fandom. And again, Missouri has such a passionate sports fan base. Our sports betting analyst, Ryan Butler, who will be covering the launch next week in Missouri on the ground, he has estimated that Missouri will bring in roughly $4 billion in betting handle in the first year alone, which is a massive number. And again, speaks to the wild popularity of sports in the state and the variety of sports. Again, you have a wonderful tapestry of teams across several sports, marquee programs, marquee franchises, and people are going to show their fandom with their wallets. That's what we've seen in every state so far, and I don't expect it to be any different in Missouri.
And two major cities with major sports franchises in both St. Louis and Kansas City, to be able to tap into two large cities with sports gambling going live December 1st, I think that goes a long way towards those numbers that you just talked about.
It certainly does. Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that we have seen that I'm sure has been shared around, a lot of people in Missouri would travel to Kansas to make bets. And now that is money that they can keep in the state, bet closer to home, bet with friends, bet with family. You know, one thing that we've seen in our research and the trends that we've seen is that people have really turned betting into this shared experience, something that you can do with your buddies, something you can do with your family, something you can do when you're out on the town. It's very easy to do. You don't have to be tremendously invested in it, but it's certainly easier to do when, again, you have such a wonderful pair of sports cities where there's passion and there's interest and there's, again, those deep roots. I think it speaks to, you know, the types of franchises that Missouri have. You have such deep roots there, and I think people will reflect that in the way that they choose to wager on those teams.
Tell me a little bit about what you guys do over at covers.com. I know this is a website that fans, especially sports gambling goes live, might be very interested in.
We do quite a bit in the betting space, Matt. So primarily we provide picks and predictions articles for games. We've ramped up our Missouri coverage. So anyone looking for tips and strategies on the Blues, the Cards, the Royals, the Chiefs, the Tigers, this is the place to go. We also provide guidance in terms of which sports books people should consider in terms of bonus size, whether you prefer speedier payouts, whether you like a larger betting menu. We do reviews of all of the major sports books. We have reviews already in place for Missouri. If you're looking for the best options for which ones to sign up for right away, we allow you to tailor your search based on what you're looking for and then offer you the best suggestions from there.
The website is covers.com. He is the editor-in-chief of the website, James Besson. James, thank you so much for taking some time, especially on Thanksgiving Eve. I hope you and yours have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and really appreciate you taking some time with us today.
Thanks so much, Matt. I wish the same for you. Anytime.
That is James Besson. Again, he is the editor-in-chief of covers.com. Certainly some interesting results out of this, kind of going through some of the things we didn't fully talk with him. Again, Chiefs fans dominate in the state of Missouri when it comes to engagement, emotional loyalty, and public pride. Mentioned Lindenwood finishing second while leading all Missouri teams in financial loyalty. The Blues edge out the Royals and the Cardinals as the number two most loyal major pro sports fans. And then St. Louis City SC and the Missouri State Bears, they each register negative scores when it comes to team color, merchandise participation. So the loyalty index scores in the state of Missouri, number one, Kansas City, number two, Lindenwood. Again, that's the shocking one here, followed by the Blues, the Cardinals, and the Royals, Mizzou, Sporting Kansas City, then St. Louis City SC, and then Missouri State. That is the top 10 when it comes to engagement. So in addition to the overall, they do a number of other categories to bring it all together. Just engagement. Top three spots were Kansas City, Lindenwood, Missouri when it came to emotional loyalty. So how strongly does being a fan of this team feel like part of your identity? How much does the performance of the team affect your mood? Chiefs number one, followed by the Cardinals and then the Blues. So that's not much of a surprise there. Public pride, Chiefs number one. Royals and Blues are tied for second. So that's about how likely are you to recommend supporting this team to others? How often do you wear team colors? And would you support another team if you moved out of Missouri, or would you keep your support for that one? Financial loyalty, how much have you spent on this team in the past 12 months? Amazingly, Lindenwood is number one on that list, followed by the Chiefs, and then Blues and City are tied for third. So some interesting things coming out of this study that the folks over at covers.com did. We will take a break, and when we return, we'll wrap up the program and get you ready for Thanksgiving here on Thanksgiving Eve. More in a moment right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
starting to wrap things up here on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. I do want to give you a couple programming notes just going into Thanksgiving and Friday as well. We will take tomorrow, Thanksgiving, off and be back with you in some form or fashion coming up on Friday. Now, tomorrow is actually kind of a historic day in the history of KMOX because tomorrow, for the first time ever, we are going to be splitting the signals. 104.1 FM and 1120 AM are going to be split for a certain amount of time. The Chiefs and the Cowboys play a 3:30 kickoff with, I believe, 2 o'clock pregame. We'll have that for you here on KMOX on 104.1 FM and 1120 AM. However, Billikens basketball, they are going to be in action, taking part in the Acrisure Invitational. They've got a game against Santa Clara, and that game is set to begin at 6 o'clock. So the Chiefs game is not going to be over. So we will start the Billikens broadcast on 1120 AM, and then once the Chiefs broadcast gets over, we will join in progress on 104.1 FM, the Billikens game, as they take on a really... This is an interesting matchup tomorrow for the Billikens as they take on Santa Clara. Two undefeated teams, Slews 5-0, Santa Clara 6-0. With all due respect to the Billikens, Santa Clara, their resume right now is a little bit better. They have a road win against Xavier. They've got a home win against Nevada. So they've beat some good teams here in the early going. So they'll play. But again, you can hear the start of that game on 1120. You can hear the end of the Chiefs game on 104.1. Eventually, everything will come back together once the Chiefs game does wrap up. Now, if the Billikens win this game, they are going to play at 6 o'clock on Friday, which would mean we would have no Sports Open Line. If they lose the game, they would play later, I think at 8:30. So that means we would have an entire Sports Open Line on Friday. So I don't know if I'm going to be talking to you for Sports Open Line on Friday. We will learn that tomorrow. Thank you so much for being tuned in for the program today. There will be a quiz on all that information coming up later on. Appreciate you being tuned in. Not to be cliche, but as we do go into Thanksgiving, I can't tell you how thankful I am that I get to be able to talk with you on an every single day basis here on this station. It is such a blessing for me, and the fact that you choose to spend parts of your day so often is really cool. So I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. And I will talk to you again on Friday in some form or fashion. Might just be for Rush Hour Sports, might be for Sports Open Line. But nonetheless, have a great Thanksgiving. And we will talk to you again coming up on Friday right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.